Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Today from Hebrews chapter 1, we will continue, Lord willing, our study on the church at Smyrna, but continue to think about especially introduction to that letter, the Lord Jesus speaking and saying He is the first and the last. Paul writing to the Hebrews tells us, God who at sundry times in a divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. These words that we read, unto the Son he saith, are taken from Psalm 45, where God is speaking to Christ already then, and Paul here taking those words and repeating them to the church, the New Testament church at Hebrews, and to us. Let's come before the Lord, praying in his name, that we will be able to rightly hear his voice, God speaking to us in the last days by his Son. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks for him. We give thanks for that name, Jesus, so named because he shall save his people from their sins. Help us to know, Father, that he alone is the Savior of sinners, the only Savior in the world. We think of many teachings that tell us to save ourselves, to do things ourselves, but we give thanks for what he has done for our salvation. We also give thanks what he has done for thy glory, and through whom thou didst create the worlds, and by whom thou dost uphold all things, even by the word of his mouth today. And Father, we think of the many things that we can think of him who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Help not only the church to know it, but help the church to be revived in it, and then to make it known, as Lord Jesus, you said, to preach the gospel to every creature. And as you also said to the apostles, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in thy name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We pray that it might be preached today at Jerusalem. We pray it might soon be preached in all nations, and that there will come through, Father, through your Son, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We know it is the only answer to bring peace, both peace with thee through Christ by faith, and peace with one another in this terrible world of sin and onslaught, sin between nations, sin and war in nations and civil strife, sin and terrible things in homes, breaking out the homes, and between parents and children. And we think of those last words of Malachi, that thou wilt send Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. We pray that thou wilt not leave us to be turned away from our children and our nation, and to give them the future that looks so bleak in so many ways, and all our sinfulness, the judgments that could come upon it, all of our blessings that we turn into covetousness and wickedness and terrible things, leaving our children. And we pray, Father, that especially the children in the troubled homes may be taught and be kept by thee through Christ. We pray for other needs that there are, especially the needs of the reviving of the church, the preaching of the gospel, the mighty work of thy Spirit, both in the church and in the world, in the home and in the nation. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on those in sickness and injury. We pray for those in sorrow, those in lonesomeness, older age. We pray for the terrible war-torn peoples, nations, having to leave their home, the awfulness of it and the confusion of it, the sad results of it in some nations, the catastrophes that are taking place, not only in the war-torn nations, but others as well. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt look on us through Christ and deal with us because of Christ, then bringing us to repentance, bringing us to faith, bringing us to obedience, and not leaving us to ourselves to work wickedness and have thy judgment to fall more and more on the nations where it already has fallen, and on others as well. We pray all of this through Christ and ask that thou wilt now lead us in thought, word, and then in deed, through him alone. Amen. As we look again at this letter of Christ to the church at Smyrna, one of the two churches that were commended, only two churches that were not called to repentance of the seven churches in Asia. All the other five were. They all had to repent or were in danger. The first one in danger of having the candlestick removed, no light. They would be in darkness, as every one that is in the church has begun in darkness and brought to the light of Christ. That will return. That will return in a church when the Spirit is taken away. I don't know if it actually happens while believers are still there or when the last believer is gone. Only God knows that. But the warning is there. If they did not repent, he would remove the candlestick and there would not be further messages blessed, further messages given, further converts added to the church as there were on the day of Pentecost, even daily, such as should be saved. Here we see the Lord Jesus speaking, and I want to deal once more, though we have dealt a number of times already, but with him, the head of the church. Sadly, we are not in the right place with him in the church. If we go to the last church, the Lord Jesus had to say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And that's where I'm afraid we are. We are not recognizing Christ as this church here did. And could be said that others were speaking against them. Others would punish them. Some of them would be put in prison. It is true that that is happening in some nations, but certainly not our own. We have much blessing of freedom. Some fear it's being taken away, and it is in some areas, in schools, amongst the armies, and other places, but we can be thankful that today I can speak God's word. The only hindrance will be myself. Thankful that we have this freedom and pray that we might use it while we have it, that we can be spoken to if we do it. As Christ said here, "Not only I am the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, and are the synagogue of Satan." As we read from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, here is a church to the Gentiles, but it is the same Lord over both, Jew and Gentile. We're all sinners together. We all need the Savior together. And whether he writes to the Hebrews or whether he writes to the Gentiles in Smyrna, all of them become one in the body of Christ, his body, where he says there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free. You are one in Christ. So what could be spoken oft times of one is true of the other, especially when it writes of Christ himself, as we read from Hebrews over and over about the Son. The Son of God. We have recognized religions in the world. We often call our nation Judeo-Christian. Many other nations are called Islamic nations. And the Islamic faith is believed by millions. But only one of the three acknowledge the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. The Jews do not. The Islamic do not. Neither one believe that he is the first and the last. Jesus, who was born 2,000 and some years ago, lived, died, and, as we read, after he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on High. Sometimes we think we can do things together. We hear, as I said, Judeo-Christian, our nation. We hear of those who speak of Islamic, some of the people, as peaceful. And supposedly, together we can do things. But the Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." nothing in the way of truth. 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 He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He rightly says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. That must be first in our life if we are going to have blessing and if we are going to be a blessing, honor God, and a blessing for others, as this church. I know thy works. They had works through him who was the first and the last. And as we read, and I read this particularly because this brings out, as Paul writes to the Hebrews, of what Christ is saying to this church. The first and the last was dead and is alive. All of that is given literally in the book of Acts, the Gospels, all the letters to the churches, the letters as well that Paul writes to fellow pastors, to Timothy, to Titus, and as well to Philemon. And then the book of Revelation that John writes to the believers, and then writes of the last things in the book of Revelation, part of that of which we are considering now, the letters that have been sent to those seven churches a number of years after the Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven. And as we read from Hebrews 1, after he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There are those who would say these things in Scripture, as we read them, are not true, that they have been changed. The Scripture remains true. There are those that say other things about it who would change it if they could, but they cannot. You cannot change the Scriptures. Heaven and earth will pass away. But the Lord Jesus said, my word will never pass away. Those in hell know it. Those in heaven know it. And those that will be in the future going to hell will know it. Those in the future that go to heaven will know it and rejoice in it and be thankful for it, because it's through that word that we can come back to God through his Son, the first and the last. In the beginning, God created the world through Christ. That's what we read here, by whom he made the worlds. And we can think of what John wrote in his gospel, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing made that was made without him. You can't say that of any and all the prophets that people speak of have written books. People trust in their words. But just remember, all the prophets that are believed and different religions are called by their names. You have to do it. They tell you what to do. But you can do it right. You cannot do it right to satisfy, to please, to honor the God of heaven, the God who made the heavens and the earth. Even by his law, the perfect law, a far different law than others, will write to kill, to maim, to hurt, to do foolish and wicked things. But God's law, as Paul said, is just and holy and good. And yet he said, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But by the law is the knowledge of sin. God's law. It's right. We, according to that law, are guilty. And we need him who wrote to this church that had learned what they needed to learn in the past, and now could agree when he said, I am the first and the last. They knew their first blessing came from him. They knew their last blessing would also come from him. And they knew that every blessing in between the first and the last, would also come from him who said, without me you can do nothing. And Paul, writing, could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here they were, part of his body. And then there were those who would say they were also that likewise. I'm not sure if they would say whether they were part of the body of Christ or they would just say they were children of God, as sometimes they said. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, there were those who would say, we have one Father, even God. They would say, we are Moses' disciples. They would trust in him. They would also say, we have Abraham to our father. All these things they would say. And they would probably say, we are Jews. But here, the Lord Jesus said to these people at Smyrna, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That is one particular class of people that he's speaking of. It can be true of others as well. It can be true of those who would say we're God's children, or those who would say we're Christians, or we're saved, or other terms that are used for those who are right with God. But here particularly says them that say they are Jews. There are many ways in which we can think of them. As we already said, there were some who said, we have Abraham to our father. We are Jews. We are Israelites. We are Hebrews. All those terms were used, and sometimes they could be used interchangeably. Abraham was called the Hebrew. We can read that first in Genesis 14, when he went to rescue Lot. We can read the Hebrews when Jacob and his descendants went into Egypt. And after they were there, first of all, Joseph was called a Hebrew. While he was alone there, had been sold by his brothers into Egypt. And he was described by one of the women that wanted to have him sin with her as a Hebrew. She said, this Hebrew mocked me. And she was the guilty one. There were other times when those people were called Hebrews. They were called Hebrew women. And different times that we read this through the scripture. And when it was time for them to be called out of Egypt, we read, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. He called himself the God of the Hebrews. Be careful what you do with the Hebrews. Be careful what you think, because there is a God of that people. Yes, they are in themselves a wicked people. They are in themselves, as Paul writes, enemies to the gospel. But some of them will be made Jews in the way that God says is a true Jew, a right Jew. A Jew, as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, when he said, speaking of circumcision, that those that were circumcised in the flesh were not Jews. Romans chapter 2, verse 28, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's the true Jew. That's what these should have been, who say they were Jews and were not, but were still of the synagogue of Satan. They were evidently Jews in the letter. They knew some of the truth and said, we have the truth, but did not have it in the heart. Here we read, which is one inwardly. What does that mean? God says, a new heart will I give you. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The flesh of which Paul said of himself, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's all we can do, is keep on doing bad things with the flesh. So We need to be born of the Spirit of God. And here Paul says, one inward lay and circumcision is that of the heart in the Spirit. Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Someone identify that with certain denominations, certain types of Christians. But it is from Christ. It is for all men. It is except a man be born again. Everyone, and every woman, every child as well. Only those are, as Paul will write, he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the Spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. All of the Jews were blessed with the letter. The next verse tells us, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly that unto them were committed the oracles of God. There are many people today that have that same blessing. We have the Bible. There are people who say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. But you ask him what is in it, or what does it teach concerning this or that, and then it begins to be quite a different story. You soon find out they don't believe it. They say it in the letter. Might almost say in the cover of it, but not in the in true inward blessings of the Scripture. The Scripture by which Paul writes a little later, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These people had heard it, and now they could have the blessing of hearing it again from Christ in a way of blessing for themselves and a way of dividing from others. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Sometimes we would think, oh, that must be a terrible group. But do you know it's all of us in the beginning? All of us had to be delivered from the lies of Satan. As Paul said to the Ephesians, the spirit of disobedience, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, he has us in control. Paul also writes to Timothy and says, in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves of the snare of the devil, Satan, who are taken captive by him at his will. What a terrible thing to be left to ourselves, only to oppose ourselves, and to oppose God, and to oppose our neighbor. But in Christ, there is forgiveness, there's reconciliation, there's peace, there's joy, there's all we need.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise